latest episode of the Big Sky Boneheads podcast. My name is Michael Gray. His name is Scott Hershey. Thank you for taking some time. Remember, please, to rate, review, and subscribe to this thing wherever you found it. Share it, because otherwise we'll go out of business. And we're a business that makes no dollars. So imagine how sad that would be.
Tell everybody you know about it.
Yeah, really.
Everybody.
Please do that. Excited. We got February looks packed. We've got some really exciting guests coming up on the show. But the guy that we're going to talk to here in just a couple of minutes is a dude that has a lifelong radio guy. I don't know. I've been doing regular radio 25 years in a bunch of different formats. I've had an opportunity to do some things that I never thought I would in the world of sports radio, you know, getting to go to the Daytona 500 and cover speed weeks, getting to go to a Super Bowl, do some of those things. But Mark Ward from the Montana Outdoor Radio Show managed to turn the outdoor lifestyle that Montanans dream of into a revenue opportunity.
And he was doing it before it was cool. Like, yeah. There's a lot of people trying to do that very thing today. And I've known Mark for a very long time. When I went to work in Missoula at the stations there in 1999, Mark was a former owner who came in to do his outdoor radio show one day a week, and then worked it into a network. But I found out then, I'm like, he is doing a hunting fishing show and making a living at it now. And they were like, oh yeah. And I was like, this guy's my hero already.
Yeah.
And still is.
Yeah. And he's the second guy I know that has done this. I know one other guy in Seattle is doing a very similar thing out on the Puget Sound, and he's turned it into his livelihood. And as again, quarter century in, it just makes me feel stupid because I've been doing this and I haven't figured out any of this stuff. So it's an amazing opportunity to talk to Mark. The Montana Outdoor Radio Show really is an institution here in the state. It's heard throughout the state of Montana. If you're an outdoorsman, chances are you already have a relationship with Mark Ward of the Montana Outdoor Radio Show. And with that, we welcome him to the podcast. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good, guys. It's a pleasure to join you guys on your podcast.
Man, I appreciate you taking the time. I've got to ask. I've been doing the radio thing for, I don't know, 25 years, 26 years. Who can count anymore? And looking at what you do, where you get to chase your passions for the outdoors and all of the different ways that we get to do this in Montana, and then you connected the dots. You're like, why don't I get paid to do this? Man, you figured it out. That's the riddle of the Sphinx. In the world of radio, you got it. You did it. You won.
Well, I guess I'm not going to, if I have a bad day, I'm not going to get any sympathy from anybody I talk to. I think the, you know, we do the Montana Outdoor Radio Show 6-8 every Saturday morning. And when we decided to start this 25 years ago, actually we're in our 26th year now, I sat down with a guy, his name is Wayne Knudsen. And I knew Wayne through a car dealership in Missoula. And we started talking about this Montana Outdoor Radio Show. Well, first of all, we wanted to come up with a name. And we were trying to think, what name do we come up with? And I wanted Montana Outdoor Radio Show, but I had a couple other guys tell me, well, you should do the Northwest Outdoor, so you're not just relegated to Montana. And so I said, well, I don't want to do that, because at that time, I don't know if you guys remember the Montana Hunting and Fishing News.
Yes.
Used to come out. Then they went to the Northwest Hunting and Fishing News, and their information on Montana just dwindled down, and they basically they lost a lot of readership in Montana. And if you look at the state of Montana, guys, it is huge, and there's so many things to sit there and talk about when it comes to hunting and fishing. So Wayne Knudsen, who I named Walleye Wayne, He actually taught me how to walleye fish. He's from Minnesota originally, and I'm from eastern South Dakota. We sat down and we looked at a map of Montana, and we, with all these lakes and rivers, we thought we had to have reports from everything around the state. We had 2 hours to do it. And then we said, okay, how are we going to get that information? So we started figuring out, we get correspondence and things like that. Well, it turns out that the information is good, but you know, most and Scott, I know you're a fisherman. I don't know about you, Mike, but you don't really believe a lot unless you know the guy that's giving you the information.
Amen.
On the fishing.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be there the day late, you know, And so over the course of the last 25 years, I've never had anybody come up to me and go, "Hey, Captain, that is the best fishing report I've ever heard." But they always remember the off the cuff stuff, you know, with trivia and, you know, the different things that we do, the goose blind broadcast. We used to do a broadcast live from a goose blind. And
I was going to say, Mark, yeah, you do a nice job of, well, for first of all, it's not all play. There's so much work that goes into it. But second of all, making things like a fishing report entertaining and making people who are guys like running bait shops and running outdoor stores, making them entertaining is something that you excel at. And I think that that's part of the personality of the show. When you listen to hours of fishing and hunting news, sometimes it can get a little dry for anybody who's not a fisher, you know, who's not out fishing as much as you are. But you've done such a great job of creating personalities around this. And when did that start in this 26 years?
Well, we actually started giving nicknames like Walleye Wayne. Then we had Gary the Perch Man Pearson. We had Dead Eye Denny. Of course, he's still with us today. Gary passed away a few years ago. Gary used to actually run the board. At that time, we had Sleeper. I guess we never really, his nickname was Sleeper. I guess that was good enough. But we always try to get the people a nickname because it's easier for them to remember. We had a guy called Roy Roundup. I don't know if you remember him, but he was kind of he added the humor into the show. He never did anything right. He never got anything. And he took his name from two towns in Montana, Roy and Roundup. And when I first started doing a Friday show in the local Missoula market, you know, my first name, as you already mentioned, is Mark. Well, there's a lot of Marks in the world. So I came up with Captain Ketchin. And to this day, they don't remember the Ketchin so much. And then, but they remember Captain, you know, and it's easy for people to remember, "Hey, Captain, how's it going?" You know?
Yep.
That's why we come up with the nicknames, and it adds to, like, you made a good point. It adds to the way you know, we're our crew is really like a family. You know, you got Miguel Lee who answers the phone. We just picked up JJ Quinn, who was with us starting in December, and JJ doesn't know anything about hunting and fishing, but that really doesn't make a heck of a lot of difference in my mind, because she's a good broadcaster and she knows how to communicate. She can learn how to get a part of the show and talk the lingo or the language, if you want to talk it, you know, if you refer it to that way. But now we call her Kokanee Quinn, and we came up with that name just last Saturday. And of course we have the illustrious, my old buddy, Downrigger Dale. Rigger, he I just laugh when I think about Rigger, because he is one of those guys that, and I know, Scott, you've known Downrigger for a long time, or yep, Dale Moore. Just a great guy, and he knows enough about everything. You never ask Downrigger a question where he doesn't come up with an answer. It might not be right or wrong, but it doesn't make any difference. He comes up with an answer. Now, if somebody calls me up and they say, "What about fishing in this particular lake?" I will know who to call. I will know who to give them to call, give them the contact information. And I think that's really important, because I don't pretend to know everything. I remember one time my second ex-wife, and you do go through some ex-wives when, you know, when you do a show like this. My second ex-wife, we were out there fishing Tiber when we first started the show, and I had Montana Outdoor Radio Show on the side of the rig, and this guy comes up and he goes, and we were out the bootlegger arm, and which is out in the middle of nowhere, and he goes, "Boy, you must be a pretty good fisherman. You do the Montana Outdoor Radio Show." And it's amazing. Some people think it's actually TV. They say, "I think I watched that. I watched, remember Northwest Television or Northwest Outdoors with Larry Schoenberg?"
Yep.
They would think that I was that show. I mean, so it kind of tells you how much people really pay attention. Anyway, he goes, "You must really be a good fisherman." I said, "You know what? I know how to market. I'm a marketer. I'm not a fisherman," which is true. And that's the only reason I think that I've been able to survive in this business, at being an independent, I'm not connected to any corporation or anything like that. You know, with the radio affiliates, of course, I ran radio stations for a number of years, and I'm a salesman when it comes to selling advertising. And that's the key, is that you have to have more money coming in than you have going out. And, you know, the crew will tell you that they don't go out and buy brand new boats every year because of the salary they're getting from me, but they have a lot of fun and they get paid a little extra money. They're dependable, and that's what's really has made the show go for, you know, 25 going on our 26th year.
And Mark, it occurs to me that you could turn a hobby into your job, but then it still becomes your job. If you're a fisherman and a hunter, like both Scott and I are, have there been challenges along the way where you're like, man, I just really would rather stay home and stay in bed. I don't feel like doing it this weekend, but you have to because of the show.
Well, I think everybody goes through that no matter what job they have. There's ups and downs, you know, with the recession we had in 2008 and 2009, that was a testing point for us because, you know, our marketing partners are extremely important, just like our radio station affiliates are. And I was really wondering if that was going to be a problem. Well, it wasn't. They all stuck with us, or I would say majority of them did. Some of them had to, not because they were closed down. But it's one of those things where I do a lot of things. Like, for example, I have I bought a place over at Park Grove. It's below the dam at Fort Peck Reservoir, which you guys are always invited to come on over and stay. It's a great place for somebody who likes to hunt and fish.
Oh, don't open that invite. I'll move in.
We will take.
You got a place near
that.
You got a place near Peck. I'm on my way.
So, but the deal is that I do a lot of work. Like I get up in the morning. I'm ice fishing down in Nelson Creek right now, and Fred Stingley, who's my ice fishing buddy, he lives in Glasgow. He's going to come out here. I told him I had a podcast to do at 10 o'clock, so we're going to leave about 11:30 or so and go down to Nelson Creek. But during the morning when I get up, I do anything I have to do, whether it be payroll or, accounts payable or accounts receivable. Now with the technology, I can remotely get into the computers I have. So it makes things a little bit easier, and it makes it easier to say, let's keep this show going, because I can still do what I want to do. But the crew, like Downrigger and Denny and Miguel and now Kokanee Quinn, they pick up the slack and they make sure the show is going on the air. Because think about this. I had a prominent rancher tell me about 3 years ago when I was talking to him, I was saying, hey, I was thinking about, maybe not doing the show anymore. He goes, you have to keep the show going. I said, why is that? He said, you don't necessarily have to be on there, but it's an institution. And it's the only thing statewide that promotes hunting and fishing. There's nothing else that promotes hunting and fishing in the state of Montana except the Montana Outdoor Radio Show on our website, montanaoutdoor.com. And that kind of hit me, hit me right in the face. And I was thinking to myself, that is a good reason to keep it going. You know, just hearing it from a rancher, of all people, that it's a show that he thinks is good for the industry.
Well, and your network, Mark, when you started this, and I don't know what scale you had in mind when you first created the Montana Outdoor Radio Network and everything that comes with it now, but the scale of your network, I mean, not just the broadcasters, not just the people involved, your advertisers, your reporters who are in all parts of the state, and people like that, ranchers that you've met along the way, I can't imagine the number of people connected to this show that you can go to for resources at any time on any topic, but that scale of that from the beginning to now has to kind of amaze you a little bit.
Yeah, it does, because we started out, I mentioned before I was in the radio business and I ran radio stations. Well, I knew quite a few of the managers and owners of radio stations around the state because I was in the business. And so we did a Friday morning show. In fact, that Friday morning show is still on the air in Missoula on KDVO. It runs March through December. And we, when we sold the radio stations, we kept doing that show. But then I had to have something else to do. And so I kind of looked at it. I talked to my ex-wife, number two, and I said, hey, what do you think I should do? She says, why don't you do a statewide hunting and fishing show? So I called up all these guys, and you guys will get a kick out of this. I called up all the general managers, and I said, I got this idea. I'm going to do a show. It's going to run 6 to 8 on Saturday morning, and it's going to be about hunting and fishing. Well, Scott and Mike, you guys probably know this, that a lot of people in our business, in the radio business, they don't hunt or fish. I mean, they don't do that. They're golfers or they do some other things. So they go, well, what if I don't like the show? And I said, well, if you don't like the show, we'll just take it off. And so I did make them sign a 2-year guarantee me you're going to run the show affiliate agreement to begin with. In fact, I was the only syndicated show. I had a number of them tell me that, that would have to do that. But the only reason I had them do that was because I needed some, I needed a little bit of a foundation to be able to let them know that my advertisers know that I'm still going to be on the air. And so, you know, you got to have a source of revenue and you got to have some place where to play them. And so we started out with 9 affiliates and now we're up to 30. Now, of course, there's a lot of affiliates that have AM and FM in the same city now, and they simulcast that, and that adds that up pretty good. But yeah, we've covered the state. We still have some areas that we don't cover, like up in Libby, you know, in the Havre area, even though KMON kind of goes over into that area. But the one thing that's changed is streaming. Everybody streams now, and you can get the show on your phone. You can get the show, you know, streaming on your guys' radio station in Helena. There's so many different places to get it. So that's also helped out as well.
Mark, what have you been able to do that you wouldn't have if you hadn't been hosting this show? I got to believe you've met some people and come across some opportunities along the way that maybe you wouldn't have thought you'd do.
As far as the actual hunting,
yeah.
Or fishing?
Yeah, stuff outside.
I'm gonna say I actually have done everything. Before I started doing the show, I was pretty active when I was running the radio stations. Maybe my partners say I was a little bit too active when I was running the radio station because I was out there hunting and fishing quite a bit. I remember one time I was fishing over at Holter, and I came up to we pulled the boat out. And in those days, I didn't have the Montana Outdoor Radio Show, but I had Catching the Big Ones, and it's the Friday morning show in Missoula. And I had that all over the boat, and this guy comes up to me and he starts talking to me, and he said he was catching some walleyes. And I go, really, where are you catching the walleyes at? And at that time, I didn't realize that you could actually catch some walleyes in Holter. And he looks around, you know, like somebody looking around, he didn't want anybody to hear. And he goes, you seem like a guy who wouldn't tell anybody about the information I'm about to tell you. And of course, I did a Friday morning, and I had to giggle about that one. But you know what? I can't tell you I have done anything out of the ordinary because I do the Montana Outdoor Radio Show. I probably would have done everything I do anyway. I don't go to out of the state anymore. I don't go to Canada. I don't go to Alaska. I just love staying in Montana and hunting and fishing. There's a lot of opportunities there. One of the things I miss is that, you know, we sold our place in Missoula and now we live in Lewistown. That's where the headquarters are. And I miss fishing Holter for those kokanee and Hauser. You remember those kokanee used to bite at Hauser all the time? Well, now the kokanee, they're starting to catch them. Old Adam Strainer is doing a heck of a job, but they're starting to catch them a lot better in Holter, and I'm going to try to get over there and pull my boat, one of my boats over there, and try to get some fishing done there. But I guess one of the other things that it has afforded me to do is that I am able to get and learn a lot more about fishing than I probably would have if I didn't do the Montana Outdoor Radio Show, because that's obviously been my focus, you know, during the spring and summer and fall.
Well, one thing about the show, and when you're listening, and I think that this kind of connects to that, because you are able to go to some ranches, you are able to hunt some really nice areas, you're able to fish and get some insight, like you said, from expert people. But one thing about that, Mark, is you've worked so hard through the years. These are basically these people that you deal with, and you can tell this by listening to the show. You guys are it's like a group of friends. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. Every single report that calls in, every single person that's on the show, it's got that kind of that sitting on the porch atmosphere. And when you listen to the show, you find yourself involved in that so quickly, and you it's kind of addicting in that way. Like, you feel like you're missing out on a meeting of a bunch of your buddies when you're with that show. And when you sit in on it, like I have, it becomes even more apparent. I mean, it really is everybody knows everybody, but the listener's involved in that really quickly. And that's kind of the secret to broadcasting. So taking something like hunting and fishing and creating it, but making a good broadcast is also a tough part of that.
Well, I think to sum it up, we try to do the radio show. And one of the things I told Walleye, I said, when we first started the show, I said, you know what we need to do is just make it sound like there's three or four guys in a boat and we're out fishing. And, you know, we've got information that we pass on. But, you know, sometimes we don't talk about politics and that type of thing on the radio show. But you know what? You know how guys have conversations on the boat, you know, when they're sitting there shooting the bull and that's kind of the way it is. We try to not take any of us too seriously. We poke fun at everybody, and everybody pokes fun at me, and I love that, because that's what families, and I think you hit the nail on the head, that's what families do.
Boy, I tell you what, your boat's a little bit different than the ones that I hang out on, because we would have to scrub the language that went on that thing before it'd be fit for broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And, you know, the people that know me off air, they say, how can you do a radio show with that mouth? I said, when I look at the microphone, I look like I'm talking to my mother. And that cleans everything.
Not bad.
They say that to all of us, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I was just out ice camping last weekend from Friday to Sunday, trying to get into some perch and walleye myself, and I was glad my son wasn't there, because he didn't hear all the things I said setting up the shack and slipping and sliding around on the ice for the first time this year. Mark, what are your favorite events? What do you look forward to every year that you put on the calendar and know some of the things that you're gonna get to do?
Well, I'm a walleye guy. I'm also a Chinook salmon guy out of Fort Peck. You know, they have Chinook salmon here. They range, in fact, the state record is like 32 pounds. And I love to fish those Chinook salmon. I have four downriggers, and I fish those about from the second to third week in July till the end of August, just about every day. I'm over here, and that's one of the advantages of having the radio show and having a real good crew to take care of what you need to have done, and having all the remote capabilities to take care of the business side of things. But I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes you're on the water for 12 hours a day and you don't even get a release. But it doesn't bother me, because I'm just there for the process. I love to be out there. And now I picked up, you know, Gary Reeb is kind of my salmon buddy. And we get up there and we experience things, and the new technology that's come out. We have the Panoptics from Garmin. We can see live views down there, and that's pretty cool. You can see your junk, so to speak, from your downriggers. And so that is one of the main things I look forward to, walleye fishing. I'm getting too old for, you know, doing any real strenuous elk hunting. Not that I ever did, but you know, tournaments are fine. I'm not really much of a tournament guy, because I can only catch fish when the fish are biting, and I don't like to be told when I have to go fishing. You know, and if it's too windy, if it's too cold, I don't want to go out there and fish. I'm a fair weather guy anymore, and I've learned from a lot of guys that, you know, that are retired, that you're going to catch fish. You just, you know, got to get out there when you enjoy yourself out there catching fish. I remember a lot of years, you know, because you had a full-time job, you're working, and you got to get out there and fish when you can, or else you're not going to catch anything. Walleye Wayne and I, one year, we took a trip from, I think it was right before Memorial Day weekend, through that first week, that last week in May, and we went to Fort Peck, Well, we got blown off the lake there. It was there was tumbleweeds that were tumbling that hadn't tumbled for I don't know how many years. And then we went over to Nelson Reservoir, ended up catching like a couple of walleyes there. Went over to Fresno, you know, went west to Fresno, which is west of Havre. And we didn't do very well there for walleyes. And then we ended up in Tiber and fished that. I think we caught 6 walleyes in a week. And so you appreciate the good days. And you also appreciate the days that you can go out there and do it, you know, and have a good time. And if you don't want to go out in my world anymore, I don't go out. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
You know, and we talked at the very beginning about you doing something you love, turning it into this. And yet there's so many people out there now, more than ever, who want to make the outdoors their job. But most of them do it with just the outdoors in mind and not the job in mind. And how much of your balance now is between doing things like selling to advertisers, talking to advertisers, payroll, all of the grind that goes with the hunting and fishing part of this? What's the balance now as far as one goes to the other?
Well, I don't do an awful lot of selling anymore. I mean, I'll do selling, you know, by making a phone call, but I'm not going to go, I'm not going to, you know, work at it anymore because we have such a loyal, I say that and I'll probably get a cancellation when I hang up the phone here, but, you know, we have such a loyal clientele that marketing partners that really have been with us for over the years. We try to take care of them. I mean, I'll talk to them, but you know, when it comes to for new clientele, it's a little bit tougher, you know, to even, I don't know if I want to spend a lot of time doing that anymore. I do have a sales gal, Vicky Alk, who does a good job of keeping the clientele she has, but you know, she's 70. She's going to be mad at me for telling her age. She's 70, 71 years old, and I'm 66 years old, so I'll be 67 here in August. And you know, how much time do you want to spend? So my feeling is if old Miguel Lee, he has a great saying. He says, Captain, I said, how long you want to, every year I meet with Danny, I said, Danny, how long do you want to keep doing the show? You know, Danny's up there in age too. And he says, I want to do it 4 or 5 more years. And I'm going, oh my God, really? And I asked Downrigger, he says, I'd kill myself if I didn't have the radio show to do. And so I want him to keep living because he's my old buddy. And then Miguel Lee, I said, Miguel, what about you? And Miguel says, Captain, I'm going to swing that hammer till I can't swing it no more. And that is one of the best things I think that I've ever heard. Anyway, to answer your question, I don't do an awful lot of that. It doesn't take an awful lot of time. And one of the mistakes I think that people make if they're going to do something like this, I don't know if you could, not that I walk on water, but one guy said one time, he goes, a former employer of mine, he goes, Captain doesn't walk on water, but he doesn't know where the rocks are. is that I would say that if you think you're going to do something like this today with the radio environment the way it is, it's just too tough to get clearance. You know, you don't know who to talk to. Everything's handled corporately. Very few local owned operators like you guys are in Helena. It's a lot tougher. It's a different ball game now. Most of them would just go on the internet. And I don't think the advertisers have adapted the internet as a viable media source yet. We combine our website, you know, we have over 4 million page views a year on it. We combine that with the radio show. And so it works out a lot better. But a lot of these guys that know how to catch fish, know how to hunt elk, they have no business savvy. And so they know the content is good, but they can't go out and get the revenue to support what they have to do. And then you got to look at how you're going to run things. I mean, I don't have anybody that's full-time except me, and I'm actually part-time. So I gravitate towards people that, for the crew, that have full-time jobs or they're retired. They're the most dependable, and they have to be dependable because you got to get up at 4:30 every Saturday morning, and you have to be there on time, because if you're not on time, then it screws everything up. And so I would say, I don't know if I even did answer that question, but I'll just tell you, it's tougher to get into this business if you just know how to catch fish or go hunt elk.
Well, Mark, now that you have built kind of a hallmark, this is a touchstone for Montana outdoorsmen throughout the state, and by my count, 20 different markets and more radio stations than that, and all of the years. Do you have a succession plan if you finally reach the point where even the part-time gig is too much? Do you have somebody you can hand the baton to and say, please don't screw this up, I'm going to Fort Peck, call me never?
I got to giggle a little bit when you say that, because I've been thinking about a succession plan, honestly, for the last, two or three years. My kids, it's the old saying, my kids don't want to have any part of it. I've given them nicknames, Hook 'em Harry, who's got a great radio voice. And Harry still does a lot of my, you call it IT, the computer stuff in the background. He's brilliant when it comes to that, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with the radio show. And I got my youngest son, Shotgun Willie, and Willie is now selling real estate for his mom, so he's not interested in doing that. So what's the succession plan? Could you sell the show? Probably not, just because I don't really have, I don't own anything except my boats and the Fort Peck headquarters, and I'm not going to sell that.
Right.
So what do I do? I think what I do is I keep swinging that hammer till I can't swing it anymore. I think the deal is that as long as the crew wants to keep doing it and we have more money coming in than going out, we'll keep doing the show. It's something that, if somebody drops off, like Downrigger or Deadeye Denny would be critical. If he dropped off, we'd have to figure out a whole different way to do things, because he kind of handles all the internal stuff. He's the director of the show and he does a lot of the stuff. So I don't think we're in any danger of doing that, right now, but you never know. I mean, I can't tell what's going on. I always tell people, ask me next week after they say, how's business, how's the radio show doing? Real good today, but ask me next week. We'll find out.
There is a possibility, and I talked to Mike about this, because Mike's got to meet you guys and get to know you a little bit, but there's a possibility that we might want to have Downrigger Dale on his own podcast to talk a little bit about his background, some cool stuff that he's done. One of the most unique personalities I've ever met, and I think you guys have been friends and business partners, done a lot of stuff forever, but he is a key part of the show, just like you are, and it's going to be fun to talk to him, I think, in the future.
Oh, you know what? If there's anybody that would love to talk to you guys, it's Downrigger Dale. Dale loves to talk, just period. He just loves to talk. He's a broadcaster. He's a funny guy. He's an entertainer. I will tell you this. I fill up with gas, diesel or whatever, at the town pumps. I give them a little plug for one of our sponsors. And I have the pickups all lettered up with Montana Outdoor Radio Show. This guy comes up to me and goes, hey, you work with the Montana Outdoor Radio Show? I go, yeah, I do. Who are you? I said, I'm the captain. He goes, oh, I thought maybe you were Downrigger Dale. And he turns around and walks off. Yeah, they love Downrigger. They really do. And I love Downrigger. He's just a great guy. And he's made it. There was a time when Walleye Wayne retired. He was there for about 10 years, and I was really good buddies with him. And he just got where he didn't want to get up. He lived in Seeley Lake, and he just was getting old, and he didn't want to do it anymore. So there was a time I didn't have any sidekick, if you want to call it that, or co-host like Downrigger Dale. Danny was there, but it was just me, and then we'd get like Camp Cook, who's another guy that we do. That just on the show periodically, he'll fill in. But then one day, Downrigger, or Dale at that time, came over fishing with me at Fort Peck. And I was driving back to Missoula with him. And I said, I got to have somebody, I'm going to ask this such and such to fill in for me, or not fill in for me, but to do the radio show, because such and such is not going to be there. And he goes, well, I'll do it. And I thought, man, I don't know. And I thought about it a little bit more, and I go, shit, if he's got a if he's got a heartbeat, you know, we might as well put him on. So he ends up going on there, and we can't get him off. He's on there every week, you know, unless he gets sick, you know. But he had COVID about 3 weeks ago, and he does our podcast. And if you guys seriously ever want to do a podcast with him, he would love it. And he'd probably give you some valuable input, I think, of how to do your podcast.
Yeah, we'd love it.
Not that
we need all the help. We
don't
get.
Know how to do it. But, you know,
no idea what we're doing.
But you know, he's a perfectionist when it comes to that type of stuff, because he used to own a recording studio down in Nashville.
Yep.
And what you want to talk to Downrigger about is not necessarily fishing so much. You want to talk to him about his Nashville days.
That's,
you know,
exactly
when he had a recording studio. He lived next to George Jones. I mean, he's got a lot of stories, but you got to get it out of him. He's not one to tell everybody unless you actually tweak it. And when we're sitting around having a few highballs here at the headquarters and there's some two or three other guys, I always kind of prep him a little bit. I prime the pump, the Downrigger pump, and get him to start talking about the days in Nashville. And the people love it. I mean, he tells some really good stories that include Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, you know, all
those
guys.
Yeah, we're going to do that with him for sure.
And we're going to have to, and then I'm going to bug him for some fishing advice, because I know I've seen your boat around here a couple of times out there on Canyon. So,
yeah.
Mark, I know we got to wrap this up and get you on with your dad. I'm jealous as all day of you having a place up at Peck. I'm not going to lie. And we will include the links. You can go to MontanaOutdoor.com, find out all about the radio show. It really is an institution here in the state. What you've built is amazing. And I say that as a career radio guy. You found a lane, identified a need, and I'm jealous as I can be of the fact that you've been able to make this run and do what you do. It's something to be immensely proud of, and we appreciate your time today.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me on, and you know what? It's always nice to hear one of our peers talk about us that way on the Montana Outdoor Radio Show. It's good to hear, and I'm hopefully we'll keep her going.
All right, Captain, let us know next time you're close to town here, and we'll go out and do something.
Well, got her, buddy. You guys have a good week.
Thanks again to Mark for taking the time. Again, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Fascinating conversation. He is incredibly laid back.
Oh, he's a great guy. I've known Mark a long time, and one of the nicest, coolest people you'll ever meet. And everybody's a friend, which is why he is able to do what he does in this state.
No, 100%. I know that I will know that we're in when we have a nickname. Because
we're gonna work on that.
I went through the crew. Yeah. I want to know about Colonel Smoothbore, who sounds like he's actually one of the guys from the Clue board game. That's as good as it gets right there.
I've been on this show several times, and I don't have a nickname, and I've always felt a little like maybe he'll give me one someday.
Well, you got to do something. You got to do something to stand out. Maybe, I don't know, pants-free Hershey or something. I don't know. You can do something. Anyway,
I don't want that one.
Thanks again to Mark. Again, check the show notes for the links to the Montana Outdoor Radio Show page. And again, we appreciate it. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and we will see you again next week.